Welcome to your weekly radio broadcast, Seed of Life, a time for the preaching and teaching of the wholesome Word of God that by the grace of Jesus Christ will produce the desired result of righteousness in you unto the coming of the Lord. As you're listening today, may you find grace to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, please welcome your regular host, Pastor Ido Ogedengbe. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good evening, church. Believe we all had a wonderful day. It's always a very refreshing time after a very long day to come into God's presence. You know, the Bible records that in the cool of the day, God comes down into the garden. And God normally have fellowship with Adam and with Eve. And I trust God that this cool of the day, this evening, God will show Himself again in our midst. He will manifest His presence. His glory will be evident in our lives in the name of Jesus. It's nice having every one of us back in church after the wonderful time in His presence on Sunday. Hallelujah. I believe that we are in a season God wants to bring some of us into life-changing, life-transforming relationships. Hallelujah. I believe regardless of what you have been through, God is about to take you into something that will literally change your life, change your story, change your situation in the name of Jesus. I'm not saying this just to excite you. I sense it so strongly that we have come into a season of blessed relationships, life-transforming relationship. Relationship that will change our circumstances forever. In the name of Jesus. And so I want to share with us, in order to prepare us, because every relationship, no matter how great the relationship, even if it is made in heaven, it has to be maintained on earth. Most times, many of us do not know how to manage and maintain our God-ordained relationship. A relationship might be ordained by God, and yet it may be fraught with a lot of challenges. That doesn't mean God doesn't have a hand in it. Hallelujah. And some of us, because we are not sensitive to the moving, we're not sensitive to what God is doing, we walk out. You can be seated for a moment. I don't want Pastor Tony to tell me at home again that you kept us standing for too long. Praise the Lord. That is my own fire at home. Praise the Lord. Before we go into the message, I just want to create, you know, the background for what I want to share with us tonight. No matter how divine the relationship is, it can never be devoid of troubles, challenges, hurts, offenses. It will come. It comes with it. It's part of the deal. It's part of the deal. Even Jesus with his disciples, he had some naughty times with his disciples. At the time, Peter had to be rebuking the master. Can you imagine? Peter was rebuking Jesus. They also had challenging times among them. There was a time they began to fight among themselves who was going to be great. Every God-ordained relationship will have his own trials. We have his own situation that will nearly, you know, frustrate that relationship. But it is your responsibility to be sensitive to know how to maintain and manage every God-ordained relationship for your lives. You see, when the devil wants to mess up with your blessing, or wants to mess up with what God has ordained for your good, what it does is to make you to walk out of your blessed place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know some of us have watched that film Acrimony, and it's in a sense a lesson that every one of us should learn. Worked out on the relationship, and then the relationship blossomed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. She had just managed the pain, the hurt, the disappointment, just a little bit more, she would have stepped into the wealthy place. There is a wealthy place for you. There is a timing when God will make all things beautiful. But before then, you've got to endure. You've got to endure. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So tonight, I want to share with us, because I said, if the devil wants to mess up with your blessings, it takes you away from where God wants you to be. You just become angry and agitated and just feel that these people are just making me. Don't you know who I am? Before you know, you walk away. It's the devil at work. Tell him the devil is working on that matter. He's the one. Makes you just become infuriated and angry, and before you know, you walk away. Just because he wants to rob you of your blessing. Another way the devil also messes up with some people's blessing is to bring them into a relationship that is not of God. False relationship. Make everything look so nice. You put your head into it like this. You won't know it's Nawala. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. So the devil works in two ways: to hinder our blessings, to hinder the things God intends for us to be blessed by, particularly through the relationship that he has ordained for us. It makes us become so infuriated, so angry, and we decide to walk away. Or it makes us to see as if, everything is cool, whereas there is fire on the mountain. Like the case of Lot. Lot saw Sodom. Everything was looking so nice. It's sweet. This is, wow. The moment he put his head like this, from that day, wahala began. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. So I'm going to be speaking tonight from the book of Genesis chapter 34. Genesis 34. It's an interesting story, and you see, the things that are written, they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. This is a very, very instructive story as to how to manage relationship. Praise the Lord. There are so many nuggets that we can glean from this scripture. I'm going to emphasize on some tonight, and I trust God to give us insight and understanding. Amen. Okay, if you are there, please, let's read together from verse 1 to verse 5. We jump to verse 13. If you get home, you can read the whole chapter, but we're just going to pick some key verses, and just for the purpose of this evening service. Okay, are we ready? Let's rise to our feet as we honor the second person of the Trinity. Hallelujah. Okay, we read Genesis 34, we read verse 1 to verse 5, we jump to verse 13, we read just one verse, we jump to 17, we read 17 and 18, then we jump to 25 and we read to 26. Did you get that? We are going to do a lot of jumping. 1 to 5, we jump to 13. From 13, we jump to 17, 18. From 17, 18, we jump to 25, 26. Is that fine? You can read the whole scriptures when you get back home. Amen. Okay, from 1 to 5, Genesis 34, 1 to go. Now, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her, and he defiled her. his soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spoke kindly unto the damsel. Verse 4. So Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. Verse 5. And Jacob heard that he had defied Dinah his daughter. If you observe that Jacob heard, he heard the very, very pathetic, painful, and awful news. He heard that he had defied Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob did what? He heard, but what happened? He held his peace. He heard, but held his peace until they were come. Okay, and verse 13 now. And the sons of Jacob, after they've heard what happened, they answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. They did what? They answered deceitfully and said, because he has defied Dinah, their sister. Let's jump to verse number 17. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will go. In other words, after Shechem has slept with Dinah, they more or less made a proposal to them, and it was out of deceit. Okay, if you people want to be married to her, you want your son to marry our daughter, then you guys have to also observe the covenant that we were given by God. You've got to be circumcised. Well, circumcision is a good thing. It makes people to align with the covenant of God. But these guys, they were deceitful. They were deceitful. Verse number 18. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. Let's jump to 25. Okay, 25. And it came to pass on the third day, okay, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his word and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. Verse 26. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. This is a very interesting story. The people of the land had given Jacob and his sons an opportunity to dwell with them, to sojourn with them. They were like strangers in that land. And while they were in that land, one day, for God knows the reason why, but normally there isn't anything wrong with having a relationship with those that are not of the exact faith with you. But you've got to be careful that you do not learn their ways. It was part of their own culture. When you see a woman that you like, you don't even go to ask for her hand in marriage. You sleep with her. Nothing is wrong. So the young man saw Dinah when she went to visit some of the daughters of the land, took her, slept with her, defiled her, the father heart, and it became something that was a grief of heart. It brought so much hurt to him, but he held his peace. So tonight I'm going to be speaking on the message I've titled, Dealing with Hurts. Dealing with Hurts. Dealing with Hurts. Father, we ask that you bless this word in our hearts. Give us understanding and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we are praying. You can be seated in his wonderful presence. We are in the Word, but we are not of the Word. And the truth is, while we are in this Word, God does not want us to be isolated. Rather, He wants us to be insulated. He wants us to be preserved in the midst of a Word that does not know Him. A Word that does not know His counsel, that does not honor Him. We are to still relate with the people of the world, yet we must not forget that we do not belong to this world. So while we relate with the men, the women, in our various enterprises, in our businesses, right? We relate with our business partners, we relate with our business colleagues on the job. We must always remember that we are not of this world. We belong to a different kingdom, being governed by another code, being governed by another system. And we should never descend low to conform to the system of this world. Am I communicating? So while we are in this world, we must learn to relate, learn how to relate with all men. We are not meant to be completely cut off from people. We are meant to relate with them. We are meant to do business with them. We are meant to, you know, patronize their businesses. We are meant to have some sort of relationship with the people of the world. But we are not in any way to be like them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are to maintain a healthy, God-glorifying relationship with the men and the women in this world. Are we together? And the truth is, God knows that they will not hearken to order. They will not hearken to expectation. There will be occasion whereby they will hurt us. Come to think of it, if you are talking about people in the world hurting you, what of those in the church? We live in a generation now that even right in the very, very church, where you believe you ought to be protected, you ought to be defended, there might be instances where you are greatly offended. You are greatly hurt. Things that even an unbeliever might not do to you, you might experience it sometimes in the church. So the truth is, whether in the church or in the world, there will be occasion for you to experience hurt in your relationships with the people. Don't in any way think it's strange. It will happen. And what God expects of you is to be instructed, is to have the understanding of His will on how to deal with hurt when it occurs. How do I handle my hurt? How do I handle my pains? When people do things I did not expect, things that grieves my heart, things that cause me to be vengeful or feel so much wrath from the depth of my soul. I don't know whether you've been there before, when you are so grieved that you think that you could commit murder. And that's why the Bible tells us that we should be angry, but we should not sin. There must be a limit to which we allow hurt to cause or precipitate anger or wrath from the depth of us. There must be a limit. So I tell people, it's not wrong if hurt makes you to feel angry, but you've got to ensure that your anger is measured. You've got to ensure that you do not get to a point that your anger propels you to sin or to do what God dislikes, what God hates. So you know that in the world, there will be odds. In the world, people will do things you least expect. Don't expect people to always hurt to your expectation. People will go contrary to what. Even Jesus put it this way, say, my friend, the one that I dip my hand in the same plate, he has lifted up his heels against me. Judas came to him, thought he was going to greet him. He didn't know that he was betraying him with a kiss. But thank God that Jesus was, he knows even before that time. Have you not been there before? When people you thought will protect you are the one bearing the dagger to strike you. God knows. Am I communicating? And the truth is, it is part of life. tell me through the scripture who did not get offended among all the saints of God, or who did not get hurt? Or through scripture, I shared the story of Abraham with you. Abraham was hurt, deeply hurt. I want to talk of the story of Jacob. He was hurt in the house of Laban. Gave 20 years of his life. Yet this man wanted to send him away empty-handed. And he said, if not that the God of my father, the fear of Abraham has been with me, you would have sent me, the fear of Isaac, you would have sent me away. Served you for 7 years, for Leah, another 7 years for Rachel. Then I served you extra 6 years. You changed my wages 10 times. It was hot. I don't know if you've been there before. You work to earn 100,000 only for you to get to the end of the month and they are giving you 50,000. And you've calculated. You know the way it is now? You've calculated. And by the time I pay my tithes, I send 10,000 to mommy. I use this one. Only for you now to discover that 50,000 don't carry anything again. Ah, voila. Don't know if you've been there. You feel angry. I remembered many years ago while I was working with one of the investment banks. I thought I was going to be appraised and I was going to get the full appraiser. You know, we have our normal pay. And we normally have our appraiser pay. You know, they will give you money based on is your basic pay. But later on, after every 3 months or so, after the appraisal, is it 3 months or 6 months, they pay you another bonus. Praise the Lord. If you have A, you get full. If you have B, you get maybe 60%. You have C. It's based on appraisal. And lo and behold, I was given C. It means you must calculate that I was going to get the full allowance, the full money. The thing pained me. I was so grieved. The money, I went and gave it as an offering. That, Lord, if I take this money, the anger, I just want to give, I sold it. I just gave it. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Very instructive scripture. It says, do all things in your relationship with people. No matter how hurt, offended you are, do all things without murmurings and disputes. The tendency is that, you see, some people are on the job, they are not enjoying their work relationship, they are not enjoying their relationship with their boss, because they keep murmuring. Murmuring will never help you. Hallelujah. When you feel disappointed in your relationship, or you come to a point that you are not comfortable with your experience in any relationship, the solution is not for you to now start murmuring. Look at the children of Israel. They were so pained because of the journey. They did not expect it. These guys had always, I'm not too sure if they ever embarked on any journey. They've always just been in Egypt. Through the stress of the journey, the pain, the fact that they expected the thing to, you know, yield result much earlier, and it did not bring result as they expected. Before you know it, they started complaining. Complaining will not help you. It's not the solution. The Bible says, do all things in all your relationship, in all your engagements. Don't allow murmuring to guide you or to be your disposition. Am I communicating? You must bury the thought that your relationship will always be devoid of disappointments, devoid of discomfort, devoid of inconveniences. Because that is why, that's the mentality many of us take into relationships. Whether with our employer, our colleague at work, our fellow in the church, brethren in the church, we always think that it's going to be a smooth, you know, no offense, no hurt, no discomfort, no inconvenience. Everything is just going to be smooth sailing. Oh, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. There will be challenges. There will be situations that would nearly make you to want to quit a relationship, even though it is ordained of God. Praise the Lord. So when you are faced with very discomforting and inconveniencing issues in your relationship, God does not want you to be given unto murmuring. He doesn't want you to start complaining. Don't stop complaining. Stop complaining. If you don't like something, find a way to bring it up in a discussion. Learn to engage. Rather than complain, open discussions. I've had occasions to speak with my superiors to engage them. Let's talk about this. Some of you going behind, I begin to murmur and speaking privately. Words that are so painful, before you know it, you start pouring venom. You don't do that. When you are hurt, rather than you murmuring, find a place to initiate discussions, to initiate, you know, possibly negotiations. Are we together? To murmur means to complain about something that you disagreed with privately. You are murmuring privately. The person that you are even murmuring against may not know anything. He has done something you don't like, and the next thing is, what was it? And you are just murmuring, and the guy doesn't even know. You've been hurt. And instead of you possibly bringing up the issue with the person, you start murmuring. It's not helpful to you. Murmuring might begin to cause you to have some sort of resentment and bitterness within you. Your heart, instead of being healed, becomes something that turns to bitterness and hatred. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So instead of murmuring, tell the person you have an issue with what the issue is. Thank God for this discussion we had on the Men of Courage platform. That why is communication an issue in marriage? Because somebody wants to hear, the other person doesn't want to talk. So it will become an issue. I want you to tell me about something. You are holding it back. You are covering it for me. It will become an issue. So when somebody offends you or you feel hurt in any relationship, try to engage in a healthy, mutually respectful discussion. Let the person know. Open up. That is one thing about me. If you hurt me, I will tell you. And that is the good way for a relationship to work. If any relationship is going to be fulfilling, then you must learn that it is not going to be free or void of hurt. But whenever there is hurt, let us have a place to talk about it. I'm talking to now about dealing with hurt. Let's talk. Are we together? Many times we would have saved ourselves from the consequence of not talking, the consequence of murmuring. We would have saved ourselves a lot of pain. Murmuring will affect you. It will affect the other person because your relationship with that person will be hurt. You won't be able to talk freely with that person. You'll be murmuring. The truth is, if you have been murmuring about me, except if you are a very deceitful person, because there are some people like that, they are so deceitful, they will murmur behind you. By the time they now come to your presence, they begin to, Pastor, God bless you. You are doing a great work. Could be very deceptive. So don't push yourself into that trap. If you know you are feeling somehow about any relationship, you are not happy, call that person. It's one of the things we teach in conflict resolution. Have a place of meeting and talk. am I communicating? Another aspect the Bible talks about is, you know, there are possibilities while you are trying to let the other person see that, look, you have done something wrong. This is what you did I don't like. The person may not even see it as such. And before you know it, arguments will break out. The Bible also tells us, do all things without murmuring and what? Disputing. Disputing means argument. It means contention. While you want to let the person know, if he cannot see it yet, then don't turn it to a fight. Don't turn it to a fight. Am I communicating? Pray for him. You are sharing something with someone that this is what you did that is not right. This is something that you did that I think ought by, and the person does not accept it as such. It is not a license for you now to fight and argue, and before you know it, you scatter everything. Am I communicating? So I don't see like that. Oh, what did I say that I've offended you? We'll just go and handle it by yourself. If you have an issue with yourself, I don't have any issue. But what you did is not okay. No, I don't see it. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. And instead of you start arguing and fighting, what happens? Learn to what? To withdraw. The Bible says that the servant of God must not be given to contentions. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. It says, and the servant of God must not strive, but must be gentle unto all men. Whether you know it or not, friends, you are a servant of God. It's not talking of pastor there. He's not talking, when you read the message, maybe he's talking about pastors alone. You are meant to serve God. Let people see Christ in you. How do you handle situations that could have made you to become mad? Throw down the roof. How do you handle it? You are communicating a message to the world. When people see your candor, somebody spits on your face, even when the person is offended. Is the one that offended you, and it's this piece on your face, and you can still take it with all calmness. You are indeed a servant of Christ, because they did the same to him. I had a recent issue with somebody as a result of a post I made on Facebook, and before you know it, he went and called the whole world to come and be there. He said all manner of negative things, both the ones I said and the one I did not say. He just painted me as if, and you know the way this is, you will stumble on it someday, somehow. So as I just went to my page, I just saw the post the guy made. And he started doing like a reported speech that he had an issue with somebody. The person said this, so I knew he was talking about me. In my heart, I felt so hot. I felt really hot. Because the truth is, I was not even directing that post to him. I know there are some of us like that. You just see what somebody does or somebody said, before you know it, you conclude that it is you. It is me that he's talking to. You see the way he walked the other time. It's because of me that he stood up and walked away. Because he just wants to avoid me. I know. It's me. I'm the target. And you begin to misinterpret intentions. You begin to misinterpret action as if you are God. You even know the heart of people. If you feel that way, and that was what I was trying to correct the young man. I said, you have my personal number. You've called me before out of respect. You've called me. You know my inbox. You could have just come and asked me, sir, who are you writing this thing to? And I would have said, look, I just wrote it plainly. It wasn't you. In fact, I copied a response to another discussion somewhere. And these are things that happen in real life too. It happens in real life. It happens among us in church. It happens in our offices. So we've got to learn how to be able to be calm in the face of provocation. The grace is there for you. Some people say, pastor, don't you know my problem is anger? Anger is not meant to dwell in your bosom. Stop claiming this to yourself. Pastor, that's the only problem in my family. In fact, when it comes on us like this, we can tear down the whole roof. You need deliverance. Anger dwells only in the bosom of fools. And you are not a fool. You have the wisdom of God in you because you carry Jesus. The Bible says Christ has been made unto us both the wisdom and the power of God. So you carry wisdom in you. You can't afford to be carrying anger. Learn how to deal with it. Don't let your anger turn you to somebody now that you see some people manifest some behavior. You'll be wondering that, fact, if you had some respect for them before, they lose every respect because of that single action. They throw caution to the wind. They act in ways that you cannot even imagine an unbeliever acting. And you wonder, is this person born again? Why? Offense, ought, makes them to become something else. This thing ought not to be, my brethren. There is a grace that God has given to us. In the face of provocation, we should be able to still, calm down. Should be able to hold and possess our soul. The Bible says, in your patience, possess your soul. Am I communicating? Most times when you hear of domestic violence, you hear the husband slapping the wife, it's just because the guy allowed the hurt to get to a point whereby it precipitated a reaction that ought not to be. That ought not to be. Worst case scenario, learn how to just, the Bible says we should make room or give place to hunger. Give place to wrath. And I thank God for certain testimonies I've had before, that when this person really provoked me, what did I do? I just went out of the house. I just drove down. By the time I drove around town, I got cool breeze and I came back. The thing has calmed down. And I was able to handle the situation better. You must be able to do that. The Bible says, be swift to hear. Be slow to rot, to rot. Be slow to anger, be slow to rot. Be slow to speak, be slow to rot. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Now let me begin to round off my message. The third thing we tend to do is what we saw in the story that we read, the text that we read today, is to allow our hearts to become hatred. The first one I said, in the face of your heart, sometimes you can allow the issues to lead you to murmuring. You start murmuring, saying things privately, and it is killing you within. It's making you to become resentful. It's affecting your relationship instead of you going out to speak and talk about it. The second thing that's the tendency might be there for you also in the face of hurt is for you to now become contentious, argue, dispute. And disputation can become so hot whereby it further affects the relationship negatively. And the third thing is what we saw in the text that we read tonight, when your heart becomes hatred. Do you know the Bible says that he that hate his brother abides in darkness? Hallelujah. Don't ever become hateful because of the hurt that you experience. Some of us want to justify our hatred. No, there's no justification for hatred. Hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness, there's no justification. Because God knows, in fact, most of those things are meant to train us, are meant to make us conform to the nature of God. God will use them to expose us to some level of maturity. He uses it to mature us. At the moment you let it take the negative side of you, you can turn us to hatred, which is not the intent of God. Am I communicating? God knows, He sees. Whereas God wasn't the author of what happened, God did not intend for Dinah to be defiled. Dinah went into the town, met a person that does not know anything about the covenant of Israel, does not know about keeping his body. It's a normal way of life for them. The Gentile is not wrong. You see a lady they like before you know they sleep with her. It's just normal. It's as if that is the way of life. So he just thought that this is one of the girls that she can mess up with. And that's why it's very important for us as parents, Christian parents, to teach our young girls. You will always have playboys. Sometimes playboys even in church. You will always have people who just want to turn you to a sex symbol and just mess up with you. You are the one to learn how to possess your body in sanctification and honor. Dinah was the one that would have, what stops her? Maybe she was the one that walked out to visit the doctors of the land. And the moment he notices that, this girl, you are setting me up for your brother. What she should have done? She goes back home. She goes back to where she's coming from. I'm a son of a man that has a covenant with God. We are not meant to marry any of you anyhow. Even if you must marry me, first do what is necessary. Don't defile me. And he runs back home. But she allowed it. Because sometimes the reason, you know, sometimes art blindfolds our sight to really think of what could have gone wrong. When we are hurt, we lose every sense of reasoning. Now they concluded that it was Shechem that was, all the fault was on Shechem. What of Dinah? We never read that he raped her. It's possible that Dinah too might have allowed her. So out of anger, their hearts became hatred, intense hatred. Am I communicating? Now, let me quickly run through three things that you must cultivate. Because in life, as I said, there will always be situations and circumstances that will happen, issues that will erupt or come up in our relationship that we've got to learn how to handle. So that we don't just running out of relationship that God ordained for our good. You see some people, they don't know how to maintain relationship. They start one like this, their house. Another one, their house. So all the blessings God would have for them, they keep missing out on it. Just because they cannot endure the pains that come with relationship. The hurts that come with relationship. They keep breaking relationship as if they are just breaking anything, anyhow. And God is not pleased. He's not pleased because He's making His plan and purposes for your life to be affected. Imagine if you just wait a little bit more, endure the pain a bit more. You will get to a point whereby the relationship becomes cool again and you begin to enjoy the benefit thereof. But the moment you get hurt by what little things that happen along the way, you jump ship, you miss out on it. Imagine when somebody is close to his breakthrough, that is when he just jumps out from a relationship. Am I communicating? So there are things we've got to cultivate. The first thing I want to share with us that we need to cultivate, which we saw in the story, when Jacob heard that Dinah had been defiled, what did he do? He held his peace. So number one, learn to hold your peace. Don't always be immediately reactive. Learn to hold your peace. Learn to process what has happened. Learn to have an appropriate response. Hold your peace. Listen to the facts. Get all the details. Come up with an informed opinion or informed decision. And know how to go about it to ensure that you address the issues in a way that it will not affect your relationship. That's the way you must cultivate it. If you are always too impulsive, you can't last in any relationship. Whether it's business, whether it's marital relationship or romantic relationship, whether it's a pastor to member relationship, it's a relationship in the department, whatever relationship.
if you are always impulsive, you hear something, you react. You hear something, you fight. You hear something, you attack.
Oh, you can't last in any relationship. It's not a curse.
Hold your peace. It was a bad news. You can hear a bad news, yet you can handle it with such candor.
As if nothing happened. I know your boss normally say that, but the truth is, even when you're here, here's bad news. As a child of God, there's a way you can still maintain your joy. You know, our joy is not a function of what happens. It's a function of the Holy Ghost. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you might not, you don't have to lose your joy because of any bad news. Bible says, joy unspeakable, full of glory. Have your joy. Because it's out of your joy that you can actually draw appropriate actions that will not be offensive. But when you become bitter and you become so, you know, pained, before you know it, your reactions that will follow will be so, so distasteful. Am I communicating? Are we getting something? So hold your peace in the face of hurts. And when you are grieved by any development, when any development grieves your heart, learn to hold your peace. Hurts do happen. You don't have to invite it before it shows up. It was obvious that Jacob was hurt by the news that our only daughter, I imagine what she has been thinking about that young girl. And you know, in Israel, it is a shameful thing. Unlike in our generation now that we don't think of it as any major. If a woman gets married and the husband says, look, I did not meet something there. It's a shameful thing in those days. Very shameful. So the guy was looking forward to handing over this young girl to the husband without any defilement. One day, he suddenly came and had the bad news. Oh, very pathetic, painful, hurtful. Yet, he had his peace. Tell your neighbor you can hold your peace. No matter how terrible the provocation is, you are a child of God. You can hold your peace. You can. You can hold your peace. So cultivate it. You learn it. I tell you the truth, you can't avoid it. If somebody does not offend you in your office, there will be somebody that will offend you in the church. Somebody does not offend you in the church, somebody may offend you in your home, your family. You can't avoid it. So learn, begin to cultivate. How do I handle it? So that it does not always lead me to jumping out of every relationship every now and then. So that I'll be able to withstand whatever the enemy may want to use against me to affect my God-ordained relationship negatively. You must cultivate that habit of holding your peace. Praise the Lord. Number two, harbor no deceitfulness in your heart. Harbor no deceitfulness. Inasmuch as you must hold your peace, it doesn't mean that there won't be hurt. But be careful. Don't let your heart be something that you are now feigning. You are deceived. I know you have been offended. If what you did is okay, I'm so happy with it. And I'm very glad. You didn't me, you offended me, Nibo. You can never offend me. I'm happy with you. But in the heart, it's cursing. That's not a way to deal with hurt. Many of us, we have been brought up with that kind of disposition. When you feel something inside of you, and instead of you finding a way to prayerfully deal with it, and look for a means whereby you communicate it in a very, very sane and honorable manner, you begin to, I'm a dibble. You'll be playing cowboy. They say, the way you have been acting these days in church, we just noticed that you're always coming towards the time we're about to say opening prayer. You don't come from your prison. And before you know it, after service, immediately we don't even see you have gone. I say, you are not like this now, Brother Taiwo. And why are you behaving like this? I say, me? It's just one of those things. You mean, there's no problem. In fact, I bless God for the life of the pastor. I thank God for all of you. It's okay. Everything is fine. But in his heart, a lie. And we see that a lot in church. Pastor Paul used to say it. Say, when you are looking for the best actors, come to the church. People that would hack. Jesus. We've learned it like as if it is normal. Deceitfulness, cunningness, not being straightforward. That was what happened to Simeon and Levi. They were really hurt. He pained them because just like the father, and let me say the truth to you, they couldn't have been hurt as much as Jacob. They couldn't have been hurt as much as Jacob. Because they're brothers. At some point, they may just say, well, no, she get herself. But now the baba, even when the guys are married and they're all gone, now the baba will see they carry the girl. So she will be hurt the more. Yet, the father could hold his peace. These guys, instead of them possibly coming to the father and say, Baba, let's talk about this thing. We are all ashamed of this development. This thing is so painful to us. How do we go about it? This is not to be. How do we remedy the situation? How do we handle it? How do we ensure that the hurt that we feel now does not affect our relationship with the children of the land because they allowed us to sojourn here? How do we ensure that we still manage this situation in a way that we are all good for it? No? In fact, they deceived their father. They deceived Shechem and Hamor. Because they were doing it to their father as if there's no problem. The father, the one that told them, he told them with the mind that we will find a solution. We'll be able to resolve this conflict. Not that you guys should go out. You know that because Jacob was so hurt by what his sons did, when it came to the time when he was meant to bless them, he cursed them. Because they made him to become so ashamed. They were so deceitful. And this guy is so cunning. What kind of wisdom is that? What kind of demonic kind of suggestion is that? He says, instruments of cruelty dwells in their bosom. Instruments of, they are cruel guys. That's why I fear people who cannot be open with me. They can kill you. I fear them. I like people who can be sincere. They may be sincere to a fault, but they can talk to me and say, Pastor, this is the way I feel, and open up to me. I love such people. They may make mistakes. I will correct them. I will talk and we agree. But people that will just be embellishing everything as if it is fine, but in their heart, venom. Instrument of cruelty. There are people to be feared. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. So please don't in any way abhor deceitfulness in your heart. Genesis 34 verse 13 tells us that they did what? He said that but the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father and spoke deceitfully because he has defied Dinah their sister. They spoke deceitfully. And they told him, okay, no problem. And this guy, you know, that is one thing about sexual relationship. It gives a false sense of love. Hello, I'm talking to singles here. It gives a false sense of love. When somebody does not truly love you, but because he has slept with you, he may just be giving the impression that, I love this person. Because there is like a soul kind of connection. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. It's just because of the sexual heart that he now begins to call you. He wants to call you again and again just because he wants to do it again. It's not out of genuine love. It's just because of that sexual heart. And that is the truth. Praise the Lord. It's not born out of love. So that guy, Shechem, his heart was in a way. Bible says that it is joined to an harlot, becomes one spirit with the harlot. His heart was connected. And he feels that, I need this woman. Anything, I will do it. So when the guy came and deceitfully told him, if you want to have her as your wife, go and do what? Circumcise like us. and you will have her. And they accepted. Do you know the king and his son, they went and told the old men in the city, in the town. Because we want to marry, just because of one, this one person. Ah. May God help us. Waiting love go do. That is even lost. When you now see somebody who truly loves you, as it says that, is as unquenchable as fire. Genuine one. It's unquenchable. As I pray for every young person here, sister, brother, God will give you a genuine person that truly loves you. Truly, truly loves you. But even though the affection that this guy had towards Dinah was not, as it were, perfectly the kind of affection God wants us to have in genuine love. But the guy moved the whole city to agree to. You can imagine a 45-year-old man, circumcision at 45 years old. Joshua, if I say make I can't do circumcision for you now at this age, I know say you go run back, go my country. You say you get any me for Ibadan. You say you don't stay Ibadan again. Praise the Lord. 45, 30, 55, all of them agreed. And they circumcised all of them. The third day when the thing was really very painful, when they can't even move. They can't move. All of them were already, maybe they were just sleeping on their bed. They were just in one place. They can't move. Circumcision is a pain. That is why they advise for you to do it in the first week or so after birth, so that the child can quickly overcome the pain. But when you are an adult, when all your senses are fully formed, to now circumcise you. Third day, the thing, they pain them seriously. That is when they took their swords and went in. These guys are cruel. Now those kind of guys, you know, say Boko Haram to like women. And those kind of guys will go bring, come, go inside Boko Haram, go deceive them. So that they will just kill all of the guys. Praise the Lord. And before you know it, they killed everybody. Took all their wives, took all their wealth and their riches. They took over the whole city. These guys were mean. Number three, I said, the things we need to cultivate, number one, learn to do what? To hold your peace. Number two, abhor no deceitfulness. And finally, hesitate from revenging. Hesitate. Do you know many times when I remember what some people do to me, something want to say to me, cursing, wishing evil. But I've learned to, I've cultivated it. Anytime a negative emotion wants to rise in me, I quench it. You have to cultivate it. You have to cultivate it. A picture may come back to you as to what somebody did to you. You have to learn how to prevent the vengeance. Oh, you must learn it. Maybe you have an else that, you know, it lied to you, deceived you, messed you up, and ran away. And you are feeling so much. Every time you remember him like this, you want to start cursing him. I was reading the story of a particular woman in the UK. She didn't know that the man had boys in Nigeria. She was struggling. She only had a girl or so. She couldn't have any child again. This man had sons through another woman. And I think it was even after she had married that man. So, and every time he would keep haunting the woman and saying, you are a barren woman. Let me go and meet my very fruitful vine in Nigeria. Was always saying all manner of terrible things against her. So she was dying inside. She was wishing that the man should die. In fact, after the man died, initially he was doing as if he pained her. Suddenly she just started laughing and was excited among the people. And people were wondering, a particular lady was wondering, why are you suddenly changing like this? He said, well, he's going to rot in hell. That you know what he has made me to go through. He cursed me all manner of names. He does this to me. It's because he's a deacon in church that I don't want people to know that we are going through problem in the family. That is why I have not filed for divorce. That man made me to go through hell. So all the while she was in the marriage, she was wishing that man dead. He said, I'm the one that wished him dead. In fact, the cancer that came on him, I'm the one that wished him to have cancer. Vengeful spirits. And we must learn how to deal with it. The Bible says, scripture is very clear. It says, vengeance is mine. I will revenge, saith the Lord. In the face of deep odds, don't allow that vengeful spirit to be building up in you. Don't allow it. Please, I beg of you. Learn how to always quench it. Quench it. I quenched it a lot recently. I have to quench it a lot. I have to quench it a lot. Because I just feel that, how would this person do this? It must not happen. No. I'm meant to bless. I mustn't curse. I must bless. Am I communicating? You must learn how to quench your tendency to be vengeful. It's God that will avenge you of your enemy. The truth is, the fact that God says you should not avenge of yourself or you should not take revenge doesn't mean that God doesn't know how to deal with those people. He knows how. Say, vengeance is mine. Says, I will revenge. But the problem is we want to take it out from the hand of God. Leave God to handle the situation. Bless, don't curse. Cultivate it, because it will help you. If I tell you the truth, there are times that even in my marriage, I feel hurt. My wife too, I know there are times I've hurt her many times. It is just going to happen. But learn to cultivate. These three things I've shared, very critical. If God will lead us, we may share more. But for tonight, I think it suffices to stop here. If you must deal with your heart, the first thing, you must learn to hold your peace. Learn to hold your peace. Number two, don't harbor deceitfulness. And number three, hesitate to revenge. Hesitate. You have to hesitate, because the thing will be coming. If I tell you it won't come, it's a lie. If you come back to your memory and you know there is a devil that will show you the picture. These people, they hate you. See the evil they have done against you. I'm very sure Joseph would have fought vengeful spirits, vengeance tendency. He would have fought it over and over. By the time he remembers all the things his brother did to him. These were people you were looking after their welfare. They took you, sold you to save you. And it's, every time I'm very sure he will be remembered. Look at the kind of suffering. If not for my brother, he would have possibly been thinking of being vengeful. But thank God, at the end of the day, what did he say? He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I pray for you tonight that whatever is meant for evil against you, to cause you to fall out of the things that God wants to bless you by, God will give you more than sufficient grace to be able to handle it. To be able to handle your relationship. Handle the issues that may come out of your relationship. In the church, at home, in your office, everywhere you find yourself, particularly in the midst of a perverse and a crooked world, you will have the wisdom, the graces of the Lord to be able to handle the hurts, to handle the offenses, the pains, the disappointments in the name of Jesus. Let that be our portion. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for your audience. We believe you have been blessed by today's message. If the Lord will be leading you, we invite you to join us for any of our services holding every Sunday between 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. and Tuesdays between 6 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. You can send us an email, info@hotrharvesthouse.org. Remember, we truly care and love you with the love of Jesus Christ. This has been an outreach service broadcast sponsored by the House on the Rock, Harvest House, Ibadan.